96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. A lot of people want to start a nonprofit organization to positively impact the community or as part of a business strategy, but there's a lot to it. And very easy to make mistakes. Well, joining me to talk about this are Lee Christian Parker, Senior Director of the Philanthropic Services for the Community Foundation for the National Capital Region. Also on the phone, Adair Ayira. She is the Project Manager for Associated Black Charities. If you have a question about nonprofit organizations, how to start it, how to keep from making mistakes, you can give us a call at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. That's 855-288-4876. Okay, Lee and Adair, thank you both so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Happy to be here, Harold.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Let me start with Lee. Lee, can you kind of give me a working definition of a nonprofit organization so everyone can understand that?
Sure. A nonprofit organization is typically designated as a 501c, and it can be a 501c3 or 4, and it is an organization that is essentially making contributions to the community. So what's interesting, Harold, is that a 501c3 nonprofit can be both a civic organization, a religious organization, a public foundation, essentially a public charity.
Okay, so you say 501 or 501c or 501c3. Explain those numbers. Obviously, we're not talking about retirement programs like 401k or 403b. So what do those numbers mean exactly?
A 501c3 is an IRS designation that gives an organization tax-exempt status. And in the U.S., interestingly enough, there are close to 1.1 million organizations with that designation that serve as the majority. And with that tax-exempt status, it means that the IRS has said that you as a nonprofit, 501c3, are going to make positive contributions to the community, whether that be health, education, you name it.
Okay. Adair, Associated Black Charities is a prime example of that. Can you kind of give me an example of the kinds of contributions that Associated Black Charities does in the community?
Absolutely. Actually, we are a public foundation, which means that we both solicit funds and we also give grants. And our primary areas of concentration, particularly on the grant-giving side, is we fund workforce training efforts and also give discretionary grants for higher education efforts.
Mm-hmm.
Our work in the community includes providing technical assistance and capacity building for foundations. We also are a convener. So there are a lot of smaller foundations whose voices get lost in the conversation because they are not as large or they don't have the capacity of some of the larger foundations. And we always try to create space for those voices. And in the work that we do, we recognize that we are all still impacted by institutional and structural racism. And so on the transactional side of our program, we incorporate that into our work and our conversation as we do on our policy, education, and information.
Okay, Lee, same question. What does the Community Foundation for the National Capital Region do
Mm-hmm. That is a great question, and we're a complex organization. My colleague says it best in that the Community Foundation is a matchmaker. We essentially match people who have resources with community need. So that means as a community foundation, our mission, Harold, is to strengthen the Washington metropolitan region by encouraging and supporting effective giving and providing leadership on critical issues in our community. So on one hand, we serve as a house for individuals who want to set up funds to facilitate their giving. But we also serve as an investor in those nonprofits that are working to address an array of critical issues impacting the greater Washington region.
You know, Lee, I get a lot of phone calls literally weekly, and this is no exaggeration. Every single week, 12 months out of a year, someone calls me and says, I have a nonprofit, or I'm starting a nonprofit, or I'm thinking about starting a nonprofit, and I want to talk about X, Y, Z, 1, 2, 3. And the first thing I think is, uh-huh. And I don't think that a lot of people really understand, as they're sitting in their living rooms or thinking about leaving their jobs, the complexities of starting a nonprofit. What do you say to somebody who tells you they want to do the same, start a nonprofit?
The first thing that I say is don't do it.
Why is that?
I say don't do it because the nonprofit sector is growing increasingly crowded. So as I said before, across the U.S., there are 1.1 million organizations. In the District of Columbia alone, there are thousands. So that means that if you are starting a nonprofit, you've got to think very strategically about what is the niche that you are filling and to be certain that nobody else is filling that niche, because the degree of duplicity that exists within the nonprofit sector is huge, such that you will have nonprofits that literally, Harold, sit on the same block or in the same neighborhood, providing the same service and sometimes to the same organizations, but do not connect or partner with one another. So it begs the question from a funder's perspective, why should we be providing funds to both of you all versus one nonprofit that is serving the same population?
Adair, this sounds like big business and not just about people serving the community. How do you respond to that?
And I think that sometimes people look at it as that. Everyone wants to make a contribution. And when you don't really know a lot about how nonprofits operate and the administrative aspects of it, you think that you have the next big idea. Most people who want to start a nonprofit, Harold, only look at the program aspect of it. Oh, I want to help feed people. I want to provide after-school care for children. They don't look at the fact that running a nonprofit is a business.
But we want to talk about the specifics of that business, not just the legal part. We want to talk about branding and, of course, the money. Where does it come from? How do you get it? And we're also going to go to the phones. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. We're talking about starting a nonprofit. We'll be back in just a moment. The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about starting a nonprofit organization. If you want to do it, if you have an idea, these are the people that you need to listen to before you take another step in that direction. My guests are Lee Christian Parker, Senior Director of Philanthropic Services for the Community Foundation of the National Capital Region, and Adair Ayira. She is project manager for Associated Black Charities. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Let's go to Guy calling from Suitland. Quickly, Guy, what's on your mind?
Hi, thank you, Mr. Fisher. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing just fine. Go right ahead.
All right. Thank you for having me on the phone. So I had an idea. I've been talking to a lot of people about starting a foundation. I heard what you were saying about how, you know, it's a business, and I think a lot of things are a business, and when you think of something, you have to be strategic about it, like you said. And my idea was to start a foundation, but the way I'm going about it is a little bit backwards. You know, you have a foundation, and then you kind of go from there, get grants and fundraise and do benefit concerts, things like that to fundraise. But where I'm at right now, I'm kind of, I want to do this benefit concert. I've met a bunch of people. I'm a musician. And
well, let me stop you, Guy. Let me stop you right there. What's your question?
So I guess based on what you guys were saying, what is the next step, I guess? As you said, you know, these are the people we need to talk to if that's our thought of creating a nonprofit or going in that direction.
Okay, let me try to have Adair briefly answer that question, if you could kind of give her a quick pointer.
Okay, so this is what I would say. Do you know who is doing what you want to do? If you don't know that, then you have not done your research to see who in the area is doing the same thing or similar thing to you. And once you have decided that, you've investigated that, if there are people who are doing the same thing, you need to ask what would make your foundation or your nonprofit relevant. What would make it relevant? What would make it different? What would make it unique? And if you really can't answer that question, then switch the conversation, pivot, and examine what you can bring to the table of those existing foundations or nonprofits as a board member or as a volunteer.
Okay. Guy, thank you so much for your phone call. Let's go to Jay calling from Prince George's County. Jay, right, go right ahead.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. Quick question. When should your board of directors be formed? Before your 1023 forms are filed or after?
Okay, real quick, 1023, there's another number. Lee, what is a 1023? And then quickly, 1023, Adair, 1023?
I haven't heard of a 1023.
The 1023 forms from the IRS form that recognizes the organization as a nonprofit. It's a tax exempt.
So the question that I really heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, is when should you form your board?
Yes.
Right, that's the first question.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you should form your board, and in fact, when you send your application for tax-exempt status and for nonprofit in, you actually have to have the names of the people who are on your board. And usually, you know, a minimum is three people when you're first starting out.
Okay.
Although I would recommend that you have more than three people on your board.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate
you.
That. And I think the interesting thing about his question, there are a lot of numbers out there. And when I Googled, you know, 1023, it says application for recognition of exemption, form 1023. It's for the IRS, which I think that when you're talking about really, really large organizations, I think that's one of the things that, you know, some of your administrative staff often deal with, or even the administrative staff that is founding these organizations. And so there's a lot to get to, and we're going to talk about it all, including where do you get the money? Big question. We're going to answer that as well. So stay with us. If you're on the phone, do not hang up. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. The Quiet Storm with Jeff Brown continues in just a moment on 96.3 WHUR. Don't hang up. More of your questions and comments after the break. Stay with us.
The Howard University.